okay, God, notice you admitted that you have to do all three years. Let's go to that point since you agree. And this one too, you said they have to do all three. But then you didn't apply with the four. I'm not saying you're doing all three of these, walk in the light and not in the light. Did you miss what my point was? You've admitted now you have to do all three. Because you won't be saved in childbearing unless she does all three. Now, go back. We're talking about 1 John 1:9. You said it didn't say you have to commit everything. Well, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. You said, it doesn't say all sins. Here it doesn't say all. It says do it. You know it says all. Because if this and that implies if not this, then not that. And you said all. You didn't make the application back though, did you? Why not? Because you knew it destroyed what you said in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. You know, that passage means what you thought it meant all along. Bob said all these things about it, trying to make it not mean that, but it just simply means if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins, that we're going to be forgiven for the sins that we confess, no more and no less. The ones that we confess, we're going to be forgiven. That's so simple, if you look at it. No more, no less, no more. So if you don't confess a sin, you won't be forgiven, because it says if we confess our sins, he will forgive us. So it says if they do this, then they'll be saved. That means if they don't, they won't be saved. So when you say if it confessed, you'll be forgiven, that means if you don't confess, you won't be forgiven. If you sin on this, why can't you sin on the other, Bob? In 22. This is the one on attitude. Bob elevates attitude above the actual actions. And he did. He said, well, God can judge their attitude. Didn't you mean by that, then, if somebody does something bad, as long as he has a good attitude, it's okay because God can judge their attitude? But the Bible says that doctrine's not wrong. He says you must worship in spirit, a good attitude, and in truth. Right? Enough to have a good attitude and not be in truth, you got to have both. No, I don't think he thought it was wrong when he said that. Dirty joke. Okay? Then he said in James chapter 2, verse 10, whoever offends in one point is guilty of all, he said, well, they didn't have genuine love. Well, the Bible didn't say that, did it? So you have to add that in to make the doctrine correct. Just leave it like it is. If you offended one point, you're guilty of all. See, that principle was applied to the New Testament law and the Old Testament law in that passage, to both. It is a principle. The principle is if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. Doesn't say if you have genuine love or if you don't have genuine love. You said that, the Bible did. If you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. That's it. That's all it says in leaving that. And that's what I'm saying. If you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. Whether it's a sin of ignorance, a sin committed willfully, it wouldn't matter. It's still an offense in one point. Therefore, it applies. Now let's go through and just look at some of the verses I've used to prove my passage. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Is a sin of ignorance a sin, Bob? Then what are the wages of sin? Death. So what are the wages of the sin of ignorance? If the sin is a sin of ignorance, death. Sin is a transgression of law. Isaiah 59, verse 2, your sin and iniquity have separated between you and your God. Doesn't say any certain type. Look at Luke 12, verses 46 through 48. Verse 48 in particular, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of strife shall be beaten with few stripes. That verse, if it's all by itself, would prove not proposition and proposition and thing. Matthew 15, 14, if the blind, lead the blind, both shall fall to the ditch. Who could not believe, who wouldn't admit that that includes people who are committing sins of ignorance? It has to. Proverbs 14, 12, a perfect description for a sin of ignorance, and it tells the result. There's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. 2 John, verse 9, if you transgress and don't abide in the doctrine, you don't have God. Is a sin of ignorance a transgression of the law of God? Well, this says if you transgress the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. Is a sin of ignorance a transgression of the doctrine of Christ? Therefore, if you commit a sin of ignorance, you don't have God. How? That's so simple. I don't see why anybody can't see it. Now the conditions that we must see. Acts 8, verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God to grant us all of thy heart to make us forgive. So a Christian, that's told to a Christian, you have to repent to be forgiven. And that's what I'm saying. See that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. That's exactly what I teach, Bob, but you don't teach that. You teach even if you don't confess, you'll get forgiven for sin. You do teach, whether or not you admit or not, that even if you don't do the things of 2 Peter 1, you still might not fall. I'm not making an argument in this case. All I'm doing is reading a verse now just to describe what my position is. And I close the debate last time with this, and I'm going to close it again. I'm not making argument per se, but I think this verse describes exactly what I believe about the position. And it clearly shows that Bob does not believe the correct position. Leviticus 5:17, if a soul sins and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wished it not, in other words, though he knew it not, though he wished it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Though he wished it not, yet he's guilty, shall bear his iniquity. That's exactly what I believe.